Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, our King of Kings. Jesus, our King of Kings. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 through 21. And I truly believe that God has a word for each and every one of us. Amen? And so, let's get to the word. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away, what? Secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, what, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I need you to catch that last verse. And you shall call his name, Jesus. Notice it's capital. Is it capital in your Bible? The name Jesus? For he will save his people from their sins. And notice it says here, this is one thing that I said, Lord, it says he will save his people. I said, God, what does that mean? Because we all know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever calls, you know, that he died for all, right? But he said he will save his people from their sins. So you and I here, we're his people. We wouldn't be here if we weren't his people. We would have no desire. You see, the people of God have desire. They have hunger. They want to be in the presence of God. They want to hear God's word. They want to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. And so, by being born of God, by falling in love with the Savior, it's clear that we are his people. But look at all the people that you could think of in your life, my life, in our lives, who have no desire to be in God's word, to come to a service. And those are the ones you just pray for. Say, God, only you could give them ears to hear and eyes to see. I've learned that you can't beat them on the head with the Bible. You'll just drive them further away. So the only way they're going to see Jesus is through your life and my life. The only way they're going to thirst and want the things we have is we have to demonstrate it before them. Even when it's tough. This is why the Bible says, pick up your cross and follow me daily. Listen, when you learn to die to self, when you learn to say, not my will, but thy will be done, that's when God will show up great and mighty in your life. Why? Because he wants to do things that you could have never comprehended he would ever do in your life because you're stepping out in faith. Thank you, Lord. So, question is, who is Jesus? Is he just someone that you come to church once a year? And we know, I mean, there was almost every seat taken Friday night. And we know, and we don't mock them, we don't ridicule them, but we know that there's people that just come out either for Easter or Christmas. We get it. But we have these things. Why do we have these things? So that they can see the love of God, the grace of God. They can see what we're all about. That we love them despite. That we can show them that we can, that we love God and we worship Him and we praise Him. And so our understanding depends upon on what kind of relationship we have with Him and how much we know about Him. And the only way you're ever going to know who Jesus is in your life is, number one, first and foremost, through the written scripture, and then how He operates in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Those two things come together as one. My goodness. And let me just say this. There's great joy knowing that you have a personal relationship with Him. And some people know that very little, yet in an instant, there's people in the world that probably you know, I know several. I still have friends, praise God, that are still alive when we used to run the streets way back almost 35, 40 years ago. And they haven't changed. I run into them every now and then. And I can see they're worn, torn. Their slave master, who is Satan, has really beaten them up in life. And then they see us years later, and all we can do is just share the love and testify and glorify God and say, oh God, I'm praying for them. Many of us. I grew up with at least 40, 45 guys. We went to Sweetwater. And we were rebels without a cause. Many of them have already passed away. Some are still alive, like I mentioned. And a lot of them have a dislike for Jesus. Even when every now and then I run into them and I share God's grace, they don't want to hear about Jesus. And many others claim Him as Savior and Lord, but can't really give an explanation why they believe in Him. When I first got saved, I was filled with the Spirit of God. I had so much joy, I couldn't even comprehend it. But I still didn't know who He was. All I know that I was changed, and I no longer wanted to go back into the world that He delivered me from. I was changed by the power of God. And so it's taken so far 32 years from the moment I got saved to continue. It's still an ongoing process to understand who He is in my life. I don't know it all. And none of us have arrived. I hope you know that. None of us have arrived. We're still going through trials and tribulations. We're still understanding the love of God, the grace of God. We're still trying to figure out what He's doing in our life. Because when things don't go right, you think that He's abandoned us. But you know, guess what? He doesn't abandon us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so, saints of God, since there's so much confusion and ignorance regarding Christ's identity, we as His followers have a responsibility to accurately understand who He is, so that others may know Him too. So look at this right up here. Let's go back right up here. Jesus lived before He was even conceived in His mother's womb. Did you know that? He was already in heaven. It was but God's grace that He came down to die for us. Can I get an amen? My goodness. See, Jesus, He didn't come into existence when He was born as a baby. He pre-existed in eternity past. And it was God's appointed time. See, God has appointed time with everything that He already proclaimed. Everything that He has prophesied and has now come to pass. He has ordained that before the foundation of the world. And so, at his appointed time, he came to earth in human form while still retaining his deity. How do you see? He was the God-man. He was the God-man. Praise God. Let's look at this. Let's look at this scripture right here in Genesis. Let us make man in our image according to our what? Our likeness. So we're made in the image of God. We have to understand, first of all, we got to go back to look ahead to see how God is using us and how we can understand him clearly and much more closer through the lens of Scripture. And so saints, the plurality of the personal pronouns reveal that all three of the Godhead were together at the time of creation, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And guess what? Guess who created all things? Jesus. I got some word to back that up. Look at this right up here. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to what? The tradition of man. There's traditions of man. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Look at this. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of them are in him. Look at this. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and what? Power. So we're gonna do like a little history course here just to be reminded who he is. We have to understand that he was there before time even began. Jesus was there. And Jesus spoke to the Jewish leaders at the time, and they thought it was blasphemy. They thought that this man was blaspheming the word of God, the Tanakh, the Old Testament. And listen, this is when they wanted to pick up stones and kill Jesus with this statement right here. Look at this. He said, before Abraham was, I am. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai and the burning bush, and he heard a voice, and Moses, man, came there humbling, and God said, remove your sandals, you are on holy ground. And Moses says, who are you? He says, I am that I am. Yes. Whoo, man. And thousands of years later, the Jews questioned the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Wow. That's picking a fight there. That's saying, what up? But we know the story in that particular context. Thank you, Lord. That Jesus just got out of there. I really believe the angels just parted the way and he just walked after them and he was gone. So in his prayer, Christ affirms his Father's love for him before creation. Praise God. Look what it says here in John 17, 24. You loved me before the foundation of the world. Wow. Before everything that you know that exists in your life, the ocean, our families, our homes, some of us have cars that are falling apart. Everything that God has given us, right? Before all that was even given to each and every one of us. The Father loved him before the foundation of the world. Saints, the constellations above the earth below were created and placed in perfect order by the Godhead and Jesus. And we're going to see some scriptures about this. Because you have to understand who he is. You have to understand that he just not only just came to die for us, which was the purpose for that, but who he was prior to that and how he had you and I in mind. Praise God. Praise God. So the following verses that I'm going to show you up here testify on creation that was brought into being, spoken by the living God. Look at this. Jesus created all things. How many believe that? Amen. He created all things. Praise God. Look at this right here in John 1:3. Apart from him, nothing came into being. Nothing. Everything that we say we own on this earth, none of that came into being without him. So when we enter into that covenant with him through his grace and by his blood, we start now learning to know who he is. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Miller that are here today, they're starting to learn about one another. Amen? And it's a beautiful thing. I love to see, you know, honeymooners, you know, because they're learning about, but you know what? After a year goes by, that's when the litmus test takes place. You know, all the ooey-gooey goes away. And then we start to know one another, right? But I'll tell you why I truly believe with all my heart they will succeed is because they humbled themselves unto God. And then they humbled themselves to take premarital classes to understand the foundation of a Christian marriage. And when you do that, you can always point back. Oh, okay, we're missing the mark here. Let's slide back to what we know is right. So God implements those things for us to keep us in his perfect will and his perfect ways. And so we see that Jesus created all things. Look at this in Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Jesus. So you always got to go to the Word to confirm that. Man, you always got to put your pastor in check. When I say some things up here, back it up with the Word. Amen? Back it up with the Word. Look at what it says in Hebrews right up here. In the last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Jesus made the world. My goodness. And so when you get a hold of this, if Jesus made the whole world, what keeps us from trusting in him when things start unraveling, when things start falling apart? Well, wait a minute. If God created everything, which none of us could ever do, then he can fix my issue. Can I get an amen? He can fix it. He can fix those broken things in my life. The first thing he does, he saves us from horrible situations before we get saved. And some of us got some horrendous testimony. But you know what? I knew this one precious sister, Dave and Elisa Calvani, who raised me up when I first got saved. They were my mentors. Brother Art knows them. And I was there for 2 years in a row, couldn't wait for Bible study at their home. And they raised me up. I had so much hunger for God. And all I saw was the love of God in them. And I used to say, God, if you ever gave me another opportunity to be married again, I want to be like them. And there was so many miracles that took place there. I wish Brother Felipe was here because he got filled with the Holy Ghost in their house. And there was a demon that came upon him when he was in Hollywood, and it had to be cast out.
Oh,
man, and that thing was just, it was like, wow. And then God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he's never been the same since. 8 months later, he laid hands on me. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, God spoke all these things into our life to help us, to prepare us for the challenges of life. You have to understand one thing, number one. The whole earth is flawed because of the fall. Ever since Adam and Eve fell, the curse on this world is still here. That's why the Bible says that the earth is moaning and groaning for a change. We're seeing the natural disasters and all that. Did you know that the earth is groaning because it wants the order back the way it was in the garden? So it's crying out. And you and I, we don't understand, but we're actually crying out too. We want that new change to come now. We want to be delivered from this body of flesh. Because for those of you that are probably my age or a little older, we know that it's failing us, isn't it? As I shared, there's some people that I grew up with in school. They're buried now. They got checked out too soon. They should never went in their late 40s or early 50s. There should have been another 20 at least. So look at this. Jesus was born of an earthly mother and a heavenly father. Saints, without the virgin birth, there would be no salvation for mankind. None. And this is why when we read that story on Friday, this is just a portion of it and not all of it. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I don't even know a man?" I'll tell you the grace of God. What God had to do is give Joseph a dream. Because Joseph wanted to put her away. Because tradition there, if something illegitimate took place, it became a disgrace to the family. And so the angel had to come to him and said, the baby that she's has been conceived of is from the Holy Spirit. So verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that the Holy One is to be, who is to be born will be called what? The Son of God. And so, my friends, to pay for man's sin, God required a perfect sacrifice. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. We know that. Why? Because he wasn't born of a man. You see, men are the ones that pass the sin seed. So soon as the baby's conceived, it's conceived in sin because of the fall of man. So ever since Adam and Eve fell and they were ostracized and they were kicked out of the garden, the curse came on the land. The curse came upon the human race. This is why we only live a certain amount of years and then we have to go back to the dust. But it was never God's plan and intention for that. God's plan was that we would live forever like in the garden. So that's why he has to come back and renovate the world again. And this is why we cannot stay in this body of flesh, because when he comes back, we couldn't stand before him in his glory. We would be destroyed in this body of flesh. This is why God told Moses on Mount Sinai, don't look at me. Hide your face from me. Because if you look at me, you will be disintegrated. And so, God, in his foreknowledge, had to send Jesus so that the curse can be broken, the curse of death. This is why Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. This is why he came to give us eternal life. See, God, his plan was so far superior that man could have not conjured this up. Man could not create a remedy for our sin. Right now, I just saw the news, they're making drugs that you can hit that can give you 300-400 years of life. Always trying to go around God until God puts his finger on that. Oh, that ain't going to work here, son. And so he was the only person who ever lived a perfect life, Jesus. He had no sin. Just imagine, just ask yourself this. In one day alone, how many sinful thoughts come to your mind? Especially when you want to hit your knees to pray. The phone rings, the dog barks. And then all the people that you think you have an ought with, they come to your mind. Oh, come on. I'm just keeping it real. I'm keeping it real. But listen, Jesus didn't have all that. He didn't have all that. Why? Because he wasn't conceived of man. He was conceived of God. And he was holy. God is holy. And he will not dwell in darkness. This is why we have such great hope with Jesus. This is why you need to learn to fall in love with him. You need to embrace the cross despite of what we're going through, despite of our trials and tribulations, despite how ugly it looks. And it may even get uglier to the point that it's ugly. You know why? Because God still has a better plan. He's still going to work out things in our life that we can't even comprehend it yet. So get to know who he is before we see him face to face. You know why? Because that'll give you, you'll be prepped. You'll be prepared. You go, okay, I know now. I know clearly what the scripture says about you. Now I want to see you, Jesus. I want to be with you, God. And so he was the only person that lived that perfect life. And he was the only one qualified to die for our sins. The only one. The only one. It was the perfect plan. Hallelujah. None of us could come up with this plan. Even Tom Brady couldn't come up with that plan. Nobody could have. Dr. Fauci couldn't come up with this plan. And somebody needs to do something about his plans. Can I get an amen? I won't speak ill. Just do something about those plans. Now, Jesus was both God and the Son of God at the same time. What? So throughout his ministry, Christ equated himself with his Father. His Father. Listen, we all know that when he was hanging on the cross, the Bible says his Father had to turn. As our iniquities were imputed upon him. Now, I want you to get something clear. Jesus didn't become a sinner on the cross. The sin was placed upon him as a sin offering unto God. Sacrificed his son, and the iniquity of us all was placed upon him, not in him, placed upon him. So you have to get one thing clear. Before the cross, Jesus was sinless. On the cross, he was sinless. And when he rose from the dead, he was sinless. Can I get amen? Amen. That's how he was qualified to do that. No one else was. If you have a Marvel comic hero, he couldn't do that either. And so throughout his ministry, Christ equated himself with his Father. Look at this right here. I'm going to go quickly with these verses. I and the Father are one, he says. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. John 12, 44. He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. So who sent the Son? His Father did. Thank you, God. Look at John 12, 45. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. See, here's the thing. God is spirit. So the human eyes cannot see the Father because he's spirit. And so Jesus had to clothe himself with a body of flesh so that we can see the Father. My, my, my. You remember that? Oh, yes. So when he came, we were seeing God operate in a body of flesh that had no sin. This is why the woman who had the issue of blood, she went through what? 12 doctors, and she couldn't find remedy. And so she heard about Jesus coming, and she pressed. She made her way through the crowd. Man, they were flocking him. Just imagine, for some, it was like a circus show. It was like a Ringling Brothers show. But for those who came for the right heartfelt purpose, they were touched and delivered. And that woman came and pressed, and all she did was touch the hem of his garment, and she became whole. My goodness. Look at this right here in John 14:7. If you had known me, you would have also known my Father also. Man. So when we look at the life of Christ through the scripture lens, we see God Almighty through scripture. Because look at this. One of the purposes for Christ's coming was to give mankind greater understanding of God. And he came to earth as a visible man, displaying what? What did he display? Because God is invisible. Can I get amen? We just said he's spirit. We can't see him. So Jesus came, and Paul wrote to the Colossian church, the image of the invisible God. Okay, so I made it clear. The invisible God. And when you saw Jesus, now we can see God in the body of Jesus. Are you catching that? That's why he could do all the miracles. That's why he raised Lazarus from the dead. That's why he fed 5,000 on a hill. That's why the lame could walk. The dumb and mute can speak and hear again. Because of Jesus. Because he was God in human flesh with no sin. Wow. But let me just say this. Jesus' words alone that were dictated by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then later on in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, through revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, even wrote things down that are perplexing. What do I mean by perplexing? That means, man, what did Jesus mean about that? See, until you sit down and you really start studying the scripture, you start to understand the attributes of who Jesus is. This is why I encourage you all to get into Bible study, to learn about who he is, and understand why Jesus said these things. Because they were, for an unbeliever, or for someone that's brand new, like when 32 years ago, reading the scriptures I'm going to show us right now, were perplexing to me. It's like, what does that mean? I don't get this. But as you walk with him in faith, as you take a step of faith, and you're now walking with him, then God starts to give you revelation knowledge. What's revelation knowledge? Nothing new. It's like walking into a pitch dark room and you can't see nothing but darkness. It's all black in the room. And then the light switch turns on. Oh, there's a table and a phone right there. There's a couch right there. There's a TV on the wall. Those things were always there, but you couldn't see them, okay? So this is nothing new. Everything that God has written here has already been there, but God then gives you, through the power, the anointing of God, revelation knowledge to see a clear picture of the scripture. That's what revelation knowledge is. This is why I shared with the prayer team this morning. Watch out. There's some prophets out there in society. They'll prophesy over this. Check it with the word. Check it with the word. Because if you miss one of them, you miss them all. Can I get amen? You miss something, you missed it all. And so be careful who you entrust and what voice you're listening to. Now, let's look at this right here. Jesus' teaching was often perplexing, as I shared, right? Many of his statements didn't make sense, and we still struggle and accept and believe them. However, if we obey his teachings, we'll become living testimonies of Jesus to all who see you and I. When they see us, they should see Jesus in our life. Can I get an amen? Or do we just blow up and curse folks out when things don't go right? Or do we go home and leave church and we kick the dog and we curse out our family members? Do we do that when we go home? Or do we still have the fragrance of the Holy Spirit flowing through us that even our loved ones that don't know God, they'll see Jesus and they'll want to be in Jesus' presence one day. Now look at this. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So Jesus said, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Well, wait, does that contradict somebody slandering you and saying all kinds of malicious things? He says, rejoice. What? That's perplexing to me. But then I understood. I understood it years later that if you are called to be a saint of God, you are going to suffer some of these things, because there are going to be some people out there that hate Christ. They're mad now that you're not partying with them anymore. And they're going to say all kinds of things. They're going to say things of your past. Oh, I know who you. I know you. Who are you? You think you are. Oh, yeah, but rejoice. Rejoice. Look at what he says right here in Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What? I was attending Mission Valley Christian Fellowship. Wonderful pastor that raised me up, Pastor Leo Giovanetti. This is after I left North Park and went there, and I was 15 years at Mission Valley. Brother Tony and I, we served there. Tony, you remember, 3,500 people. And Pastor Leo said, it's time. He said, it's time. And his assistant pastor, who we all went to Israel with, lovely man, beautiful wife, Jim and Nancy Hallahan. He said, it's time. I need you guys to release your testimony. And so they both came up. Yolanda and I, we did all three services. We were in charge of the prayer team. We did the 7:45, the 9:30, the 11:15, and the 6 in the evening. And Brother Tony can attest to that. He had to do the audio for all services. We're still slaves to Jesus Christ, aren't we, brother? Amen. And so they came up, and you know, we went to Israel with them. And Nancy spoke first. She goes, 15 years ago, we weren't saved yet. She's talking about, and they were both up behind the pulpit. We weren't saved yet. And then I got saved. And when I got saved, my husband, Jim, turned wickedly against me. He was already an alcoholic. And then he would learn to beat her up. She would hide herself in the bathroom with the kids. And he was waiting for them to come out because he was an angry alcoholic. And there were times where he was hiding behind the wall and she would come out and he would cold cock her. This is how bad. Now, any woman would not take that. You would probably call the authorities and you would say, man, I'm not going to be in this. I'm done. I'm gone. And she was a new Christian. And she got on her knees every day. And she started reading the scriptures. It's like we're reading right now. And the one scripture that came to mind was pray for your enemy. She found out that it wasn't him. It was the spirit in him. And she found out through the scripture that I just have to die to self. Because we could all make it about, it's all about me and my feelings. And you don't know what they've done. You don't know what they said. She's spilling her guts. He beat her. Curse her. And she said, God, I'm going to believe that you're going to save him. And I'm not going to leave him. And I'm going to endure these things, and I'm going to pray for him. 5 years went by of taking this punishment. And then one day, the day came, because we want things now, but God said, in my time, I will deliver. After she was done sharing her side, then Pastor Jim came and said, I was sitting in my living room, drinking my alcohol bottle. He wasn't drinking beer. He was drinking the hardcore stuff. Wife and kids were gone. He was just by himself in the living room. The room lit up. And there was like this figure that had no face. And he fell on his face because he knew God just came into his room. And he was just weeping. And God was just bringing his sin before him. And it broke him. It totally broke him. And when he got up, he couldn't stop crying. That man never cried. He said, I was crying and crying and crying. And he asked God to forgive him. And once he started confessing his sin, he said, the Holy Spirit came in and freed him from that alcohol immediately. Amen. And when the wife and kids came home, he couldn't stop hugging Nancy and ask for forgiveness and told her how much love he really had for him and the children. And she was weeping with him, and they were just crying and crying and crying. And then 10 years later, he became an assistant pastor. She didn't throw in the towel. She didn't give him up. She prayed for his salvation. These things that we read are perplexing. But when you start understanding God's grace and his mercy for us, we can learn to have grace and mercy for even our enemy. None of us knew this testimony of them. We went to Israel, I don't know how many trips, and they're just like a loving couple, you know, holding hands and all in love with each other. We had no clue, huh, Brother Tony? We had no clue. But until you really know who Jesus is and stop listening to others and learn for yourself that God can do the miraculous. He can reach down to the guttermost and to the uttermost, and then he can save and deliver us. Then we know that he's real. We know he's real. Because he hears our cry. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. The slaves that were in Egypt cried for 400 years. Can we cry for at least a year for our loved ones? Maybe two, three, they, for them, five. And she had to take and endured. And all she said was, I picked up my cross and I followed Jesus every day. She learned to die to self. She learned to die to self. And that's what God is saying to us. No matter what we're going through, listen, die to self, give it to him, and then say, God, I trust you now. You will do the miraculous. But it's easy to trade in our car for a new car. It's so easy to just throw in, this is a broken record. It can't be fixed. But you don't know, Pastor. I know I don't know, but Jesus knows. And when you look to God, he says, I have your back, but can you trust me? Can you trust me? Look at this. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Listen, in order for us, in this next scripture, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's what she shared. She picked up her cross and she denied herself. Yeah, that hurts. Yeah, that hurts. That physical beating hurts. That slandering hurt. Man, the cursing hurt. My children are horrified. That hurts. But she denied herself. Now, I'm not asking you to be a glutton for punishment, but God will let you know what you can endure. Yes. Can I get an amen? Amen? For her, she believed God. Not saying that you don't believe God, because there were some things in my life I had to learn and trust God myself. You guys remember the testimony when I came out of Lewis David's house and the insane boy surrounded me? It was life and death at that moment because they killed my nephew at Plaza Bonita Mall. I had no other course but to trust God, to trust God. Look at this. For wishes to save us. Oh, we read that. Look at this. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Gentle means my life is gentle. I'm not angry. I'm at peace with God. If I see a flaw, my love of God will cover it. Because the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. If I love you, I'm not there to look at your sin. I'm there to look at what God is doing wonderfully in your life and what he's about to do. Look at this. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. So we think that Jesus is la-di-da-da-da-da. You know, no. Listen, he came. And when he said, I came to bring a sword, I just shared. Two unsaved, Nancy got saved, and now a sword came. Meaning, one was going to hate Christ, and one fell in love with him. So what is God saying in that? God is saying that despite of the situation, just deny it yourself and follow me and trust me. Because how many, I got 11 brothers and sisters. There's only three walking in Christ. The rest have rejected him. How many family members do you know that have rejected Christ so far? Doesn't mean that they're going to remain that way. But when Christ comes into a person's life, whether they're married or it's in a family, it'll bring division. That's why he says, I bring a sword. Not Jesus. He's supposed to be God of love. He is. He loved to save. He saved us. He came to save us, right? Yes. And sometimes, saints, following Jesus' results is severed relationships with those who no longer accept us because of our commitment to him. So when you're committed to Christ, there's some that are going to say, oh, well, good for you. I'm glad you found God. And all these commands and blessings require a humble heart, willing to surrender to Christ so that he can use us in whatever way he desires. I wake up and say, God, mold me, shape me, whatever you want from me. I'm yours already. It's been 32 years. I'm yours. When we first started Amazing Grace, it was the first Wednesday night. And I was thinking, oh, wow, you know, I'm going to have some people to preach to. It was me, Yolanda, and my associate pastor sitting in that front row over there at the temple. That was it. And when I was done, Pastor Ken goes, man, you preached like the whole place was full. I said, it was full. It was full of his angels. I didn't let that discourage me. I had just said, you know what? What you called me to do, I'm going to do. Despite of it all. Despite who's here. Despite of who comes. Despite of who comes to worship. Despite of it all. We're here to do God's will. And we're going to do it with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Can I get an amen? Amen. So when we display these qualities, we're exemplifying the character of Christ. Why? Because it says right here, Jesus' name is like no other. How many are so thankful there's no other name? Look at this. Well, I'll go quickly and we close. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by what we must be saved. Wow. Wow. Now, pray for the unbelievers. Pray for those who we know, because when he comes, did you know that every knee will bow? And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It says it right here. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should what? Bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Wow, wow, aren't you so blessed? See, believers recognize this. You and I, we recognize it. We get that. You heard that saying, oh, no, you're just preaching to the choir. Yeah. We recognize this, him as Lord. But I'm here to let you know, as I close, I'm going to leave you with these last few scriptures. I'm just going to fast forward to Matthew here. Let me go here. When Jesus returns, I need you to see this. I need you to see this clearly because it's written in the scripture. And how many believe that whatever was prophesied, written in the Word of God, will come to pass? How many believe that? Amen. Well, yeah. You and I cannot alter anything. We are to receive it and say, yes and amen, Lord. So look at this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. He's going to take his rightful place. All the nations will be gathered before him. That means everyone around the world will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and say this. I thank God we are sheep. Listen. Sheep and goats in the fields of Bethlehem where the shepherds raise them? They live together. They eat together. They very seldom attack one another because sheep are really timid creatures. They're, you know, you could pinch one and they don't. That's it. They won't turn around. They'll, what up? Look at verse 33. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. As we spoke earlier, the foundation, he spoke everything into this world, right? He spoke it for us. And we as believers have become his sheep. And we are, I'm a sub shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. And so throughout the world, he has all thousands of little sub shepherds. I'm coming in now. Look at this. So he's going to divide them. Now, if you go further into that, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Wow. God wrote it. Right now, we're living in a time of grace. This is grace time. But when he comes, he's going to rule and reign, and he will be the judge and the king. He will no longer be the suffering Messiah. He's coming again to judge and to rule, and we will all stand before Christ in the judge in the bema seat of Christ. But the other ones, the unbelievers, the goats, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. God wrote it. And do you think he's going to rescind that? How many believe he's going to rescind that? It's already in motion. It's already forever settled in heaven. So, look at this. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they will answer and say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Wow, look what we got to look forward to. Eternal life. Come on, somebody got to give God glory. And so, my friends, as I close, pray for those that you love that haven't surrendered yet to Christ. All you can do is be Christ before them. Love them. Honor them. Pray for them. Don't curse them. God wants us to walk in humility to the very end. Because if we do so, he will say to us in that last day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Lord, maybe those who have tuned in have not given their heart to Jesus. I'm going to give you that opportunity as the worship team comes forth and lift up the name of Jesus. Father, that you would pour out upon us. Replenish us, God. Restore us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Oh God, that you, God, would be high and lifted up. And so if you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you now to bow your heart and your head with me. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray this prayer with me for you. And maybe those who are here have not yet surrendered. I don't know. Only you know. But God, you are faithful, you are gracious, and you are good. There is no darkness in you. So if you're listening, pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. He's worthy. He is so worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.